Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now on this Monday morning, November 25th, a late Thanksgiving this year. It's my favorite week of the year, really. I love it, man. We got highs today of 79 degrees, darn near 80 degrees. Then tomorrow, highs of 72, 35% chance for showers. Then sunny on Wednesday, highs near 80 again. Then Thanksgiving Day, highs of 73. And then I believe the front's going to come through. Peyton Malone said they're not quite sure on the timing of this. But you might have a front coming through late on Thanksgiving. Highs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only in the lower 60s. So finally, a little bit of fall football weather. Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, to talk about it. The Saints were off yesterday. But, boy, Mike, I'm going to tell you what. First of all, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, Tommy. Thank you.
Man, I got that feeling yesterday of what it's going to be like after – the football season's over, and you got those hollow Sundays. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I remember that? And then it's a long off season.
Yeah.
For football, that's the part that's bad. You look at all the major sports teams and different things. If it's baseball or basketball or football, football's the longest ride from the end to restarting it.
And then when you think about, I guess what I got to thinking about yesterday was with no Saints playing, I kind of watched a couple of games, didn't really care. And if the Saints don't get in the playoffs, then the playoffs are, okay, I guess I'll watch, but it's not really the same, right? So that's kind of where I was yesterday NFL-wise.
Well, I always enjoy the NFL because, you know, it's the best of the best. College football, I think, gives you more of a ride. Because on that any given Saturday, things can happen. And we saw a wild set of events happen this past Saturday in the college football landscape. But, man, I love the NFL.
Yeah, just, I do too. I'm just saying.
Just the talent and how they can play at that level and to watch the end of the Panthers-Chiefs game where, you know, the Panthers fought back, get a tie game, and they gave a minute and 49 seconds to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
you just knew what was going to happen. You know, I've seen this show already.
I was going to say,
last night,
you didn't have to be a California psychic to see that coming, did you?
No. And then last night to watch Saquon Barkley rush for 250 yards against the Rams, you know, and you wonder how could the Giants let him go? Because they made a play for him, but not a big play, to have him return to the Giants. And he was magnificent last night. Just great. And he's got 500 yards total offense the last two games. He's on pace to rush for over 2,000 yards this year.
The only thing I was thinking was, from Saquon Barkley's standpoint, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Almighty in heaven, that I'm out of New York, right?
Yeah, for him, man, playing behind that offensive line, I'd like to do that myself if I was a running back.
Let's talk about college football first, because this is going to be a free rambling hour. I want you all to weigh in at 504-260-1870. Do you think, Mike, or is this like from Captain Obvious, that the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness has made college football, in a way, given it the same parity as the NFL has? I think it has.
It's very close to it because we somewhat knew in this transfer portal NIL age, but it has tightened up everything. And this is, you know, I think from a fan standpoint, the best thing that could happen from a point of, man, look how competitive everyone is, or most teams are. And it gives you an opportunity. And now this new 12-team playoff, and eventually it'll go to 16, but right now it's 12. There's a lot of parity, and you see in the SEC in particular, cannibalization of one another. They just tearing each other up at this stage. And you could make a point that the top of the Big Ten is every bit as competitive as the SEC. What you can't make the argument is the middle and the bottom half are as good as the SEC. That's really where you can see this just occurring here, where a middle-of-the-road Florida team, and I give Billy Napier a lot of credit. He fought back, and his team fought for him to upset Ole Miss, who was playing for everything, so to speak, playoff-wise. You know, you look at what happened with Alabama Saturday night. Even a very competitive Vanderbilt team. You know, Piego Sabe, man, listen, I give him a lot of credit. Man, he's one tough dude at the quarterback position, and he keeps it rolling. So I would say, Tommy, you're absolutely right. And I think we just in the early stages of what you're going to see all across the college football landscape.
So you're reading ahead, Mike, because that's my next question. You've been around a long time. Look ahead when you – and, you know, we're going to talk about Bryce Underwood when we come back with LSU and everything. But look ahead. What do you think college football looks like 2-3 years from now? We got that ruling coming up with the Ball decision, name, image, and likeness, and compensation, and everything else, and our student athletes, employees or not. What do you think college football will look like 3, 4, 5 years from now?
It's going to look just like professional sports in a lot of ways. It's going to look just like it. We don't live in our dad and grandfather's world of sports, and it's changing in front of our eyes. You can like it or dislike it. It's happening, and accept it, that that's what it's going to be. Does it ruin the product on the field? The answer is no. They got more peeping eyes watching college football games and listening to college football this year than they've ever had in the history of college football. Goes to show it doesn't dampen the sport. It's still there. But I think maybe the backdrop will change because money's now going to be involved. And money up front. I think this has always been done. Players have always been getting paid. But now it's legal.
624, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, as you just heard. They'll be second-guessing this evening over at the Silver Slipper on the beach in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike, let's talk about Bryce Underwood, and Tim brought up a good point last week, which was when LSU won two national championships, they did it with a transfer quarterback, a fifth-year senior, both of them, right? Yeah, so let's not throw all caution to the wind. Let's not abandon hope, all ye who enter here, right?
Well, the last two Heisman Trophy winners didn't start out at LSU. You look at Joe Burrow, you know, and he was there for 2 years, and he wins you a national championship. And then here comes Jaden Daniels from Arizona State, and he put on an absolute show for everyone for 2 years and then wins the Heisman Trophy. So, yeah, it is part of the landscape of college football today that you're going to see so much of this and guys jumping around. I didn't hear people have a clamor when coaches jump from team to team every year, okay? That happens in college football. I have a coaching friend of mine in the last 10 years. He's had 6 jobs in 10 years. His goal is to be a head coach one day. He's now an offensive coordinator, but it took him a little while and a few stops to get himself at that level. It's a jump around process. And now the players have that same right. And a lot of people are upset with it. You know why? 18, 19, 20-year-olds are getting paid.
Yeah,
getting paid a lot of money. And I think there's a little bit of jealousy involved with that, Tommy.
Well, you know,
no doubt.
But you know what, Mike? If you are a parent, if you're Bryce Underwood's parent, what are you going to tell him? Right?
What I tell him?
Yeah.
My thing is, if somebody's willing to pay you $2.5 million a year to be at my school, be at the school of choice, then you cannot turn that down.
No, you don't know what's going to happen with your knees. You don't know what's going to happen with your shoulder. You don't know any of this, right?
And so, you know, Larry Ellison, who runs Oracle, you know, he's a Michigan guy, and he's willing to cut that check. We've seen it for years at Oregon. Phil Knight has done the exact same thing. And we've had a couple people that work the Banning Passing Academy who work at Oregon, and Phil has made it clear to them. You know, at his age, I want to see a national championship in football before I pass away. And you do what you have to do. And if you need money, you know who to call. Tommy, we live in a different world where our parents, our grandparents, even if they had money, they would never give it away. You know, my mom had this deal about, you know, listen, you take care of my money, and after, you know, I pass away, then you deal with it. But there are others that have money, and they want to see it, how it's used while they're still alive. And that's what you're seeing now. You have a lot of people with great wealth that are willing to help their school. And if that's the case, you know, I would never tell anybody how to spend their money, and I don't want nobody telling me how to spend mine. So I think that's going to be par for the course. Bryce Underwood is just the start of what you're going to see big time in college football, and you're going to hear prices that they're paying for players extravagant over the next 3 weeks, because the college football season ends, and very quickly there's National Signing Day for college football.
You talk about jealousy with 18-year-olds making that kind of money and 19-year-olds, but I think the jealousy extends a little bit further when it comes to LSU, because is there anybody in Louisiana that has the money of that guy in Michigan or Oregon? Or is willing
to... Field Knight or Ellison's money? Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, they don't have that type of money. And so, you know, for LSU, you got to pass the collection plate more than one spot. You know, you got to hit a few people that can kind of match that type of money in the state of Louisiana. Now, they have LSU people all across the country. So that is part of it also. But, man, when you're talking about people like Ellison and Phil Knight, I mean, they ain't got a lot of people with that kind of money.
Todd Graves got some deep pockets, but...
He does. He does, too. He does.
He'd have to have that commitment to LSU, and I don't know that that's there, is it?
Well, that's up to Todd. He's got
again. Nobody tells him how to spend his money. That's right.
No, I wouldn't tell him how, and I don't want him telling me how to spend mine, which I know he wouldn't. But that's just the way it is. And I think today, Tommy, we have a generation of people. They want to tell you how to spend your money,
but they don't want to be told how to spend theirs.
But they don't want to be told how to spend theirs.
Exactly.
Is correct. You put the other part perfectly.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We'll talk about Saints NFL and more. Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Kind of like, since the Saints were off yesterday, a state of football conversation. Any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. Right now it's time for WWL First News. 644, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, having a somewhat freewheeling conversation with our friend Mike Dettelier today. WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. They'll be second guessing this evening with the Cajun Cannon and live from, I'm a little bit confused here, Mike. Today you could be at Silver Slipper. Tomorrow you could be at Rouse's in Homer, right?
Correct. Okay. We'll be at me, Bobby, and Steve will be at Rouse's Markets on Martin Luther King and in Homer tomorrow at the brand new store.
The world tour
Rouse's
continues. The Mike Dettelier World Tour. Get your tickets now. Silver Slipper tonight. Then at the, listen to the text I got, and then at the Rouse's in Homer. That's a nice area of Homer, by the way, because Tim and I went down there to get a lawnmower from Home Depot, believe it or not. That's a long story. Somebody texts in, a river pilot friend of mine, does a more professional-looking college game threaten the NFL like other upstart professional leagues? But I would...
No, because it's really the feeder league to the NFL.
They
don't compete. And there's a different audience. They have some people that they love college football. They don't watch a lot of NFL. And you got some people who love the Saints in the NFL, and they don't pay a lot of attention to college football. And so I don't think it would interact. And, you know, look at the NFL ratings. They're getting record people watch them on television and listening on the radio this year, and it's happening the same to college football.
So,
I don't think it'll affect pro football at all.
This is going to definitely separate, at least the way I see it, the haves from the have-nots in college football, right?
Correct. There's no question about it. It's the college football world will look differently than it does today. 10 years from now,
so do they still?
It'll look a lot differently.
Do the Miami of Ohio's, the Rutgers, the Syracuse's, do they still have football programs or not?
Yes, they will have it, and they are going to get sort of paid because of TV rights. Mm-hmm. But that money's always going to be there for them because so many people love to watch it. And now, what you've got today? Tommy, you can watch a college football game on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday. They don't mess with Friday night in most cases. They're just a handful of games, college football-wise. But, man, you know, they can almost pick and choose. I think you'll see a lot more of that from what you just brought up, the Miami of Ohio's, the Rutgers of the world. That may be sort of placed during the week, and that Saturday time frame be for the big guys.
Let's talk about college football playoffs. How do you see that playing out?
Well, for the SEC, I thought that was a pretty good chance that you could possibly sneak in a fourth team. Mm-hmm. Today, I think it's probably three at this stage, with Texas, Georgia, and from back at a pack, Tennessee, you know, got to win out. But if Tennessee wins, I think it'll be difficult for you to leave them out of that college football top 12. And then it becomes, can a Tulane get in? Mm-hmm. They need a little help, and they need a loss by Boise State.
They got a lot of people interested in it, and I'm getting some texts on that, Mike. So talk about what it would take for Tulane to get in that college football playoff.
One would be a loss by Boise State, who is a higher-ranked team, and they'll be a conference champ, which I think Tulane will do, to be honest with you. And so I think that's the intrigue this year of how do you distinguish, because you could probably guess the top seven or eight, but those final four teams and who gets in and who doesn't. Would an 11-1 or 10-2 conference champ get in instead of, let's say, a 9-3 SEC team, who you know on paper is better? Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't; they don't play one another, so you can only look at it that way. And they played maybe a tougher schedule. That's going to be the intrigue part. Tim Brando and I have talked about this a lot. That I think it's going to be interesting, the 12-team format, and eventually it'll be 16. But there are always going to be teams that say, hey, we got jobbed. We should be in that top 12. We should be in that top 16. So this is the first year of it, and how it sort of breaks down, and there'll be some disappointed teams there. But, man, to think that, you know, the Green Wave got a shot, and, I mean, they really do have an opportunity here. They need a little help, but they got a chance to get in there. And what a great job John Summerall has done there. And Willie Fritz built this kind of Tulane team of today and what you're watching. And it's different. different, and John even admits this, that it's different for him to come in and take over. A lot of things were in place that weren't there for Coach Fritz. But, man, Coach Sumrall has done a fantastic job. He's playing a redshirt freshman quarterback. They have a star running back in Mekhi Hughes, some outstanding receivers. They're really good in the trenches. He had to redo the secondary, but that's been a pretty strong point for them, too, and they're very good on special teams. It's been a great opportunity for him to put his brand on a team. And I hate to say it, they're going to have a lot of teams come looking for him. And I joked with him last Tuesday that I know a guy that could handle his money and his agent situation very well. He just laughed. He was like, "Mike, just give me some money so I can give my players." He said, "I'm not worried about me getting the money. I'm worried about keeping my players here at Tulane."
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk Saints. We come back with Mike Dettelier, 6:51, 9 till 7. Timmy tells me Tulane plays Memphis, is that right, on Thanksgiving Day? Only game on Thanksgiving Day, and what time is that? 6:30 kickoff.
The
and I got
game.
An NFL game opposite, I believe, right? Green Bay playing somebody on ESPN. All right, 6:51. Wait, the Tulane game's on ESPN. The Thursday night game's on Amazon, I think, right? All right, 6:51, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:57, 3 till 7, couple of minutes left with Mike Dettelier. Mike, LSU is a 5-point favorite over Oklahoma, who, all due respect, trounced Alabama, and it goes to home field advantage. Vandy beat Alabama at home. Alabama beat Georgia at home. Tennessee beat Bama at home. Georgia beat Tennessee at home. Auburn beat Texas A&M at home. LSU beat Ole Miss at home. Oklahoma beat Alabama at home. So LSU's at home against Oklahoma. You think that's right?
Yeah, I think the point spread's about right. You know, when they put out a point spread, they're not worried about who's winning. They want the equal amount of money on both teams.
Right.
So you can balance the scales here. The thing about LSU is which team shows up. I thought Saturday, Nussmeier and the offense really hummed extremely well. Josh Williams had the best day of his college career running the football. Their defense gives up a big play to start the game, but I think overall they did a fairly good job containing Vanderbilt, who wants to grind it out on you when they get a chance. But will that team show up, and which Oklahoma team shows up? The
Saints,
one that beat Tulane, or the one that is got beat most of the season?
I want to get to the Saints real quick before we run out of time. They're 2.5-point favorite over the Rams. Two underdogs, rather, over the Rams. Who's got to step up so they can keep their winning streak going?
Well, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, and they better cover. And they got to put a pass rush on Matt Stafford. He's had two below-average games. It's never a three for him. But you got to affect him. You got to get in his face and affect his throws, or he will absolutely tear you apart.
You know, fun fact, if Josh Williams were 2 inches taller, he'd have not run for a yard. No, I'm just kidding, because he seemed to be squirting out of nowhere on Saturday night. Go Tigers,
well,
go
Josh is all of about 5'6" and a half, so
yeah.
I get it.
If he was 5'8", they'd have stuffed him. He'd have gone nowhere. It's like, where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Oh, it was a Chris Berman thing, how he used to go, whoop, there he is. All right, thank you, Mike. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you,
appreciate everything. We'll be listening for you this evening and also tomorrow. Mike's at the Silver Slipper this evening. He'll be at Rouse's and Homo and Martin Luther King tomorrow with Sports Talk. We come back, we're going to talk to Zee Zerang. I'll play some what the governor had to say about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. We'll discuss here on WWL.